All right, welcome to Office Hours. So there we go. We're going to go ahead and get started. If you don't know why you're here or why you're hearing a British person speaking, you're in an AMA for Resonite, where I'm answering questions about Resonite from the community. If you want to drop your questions into the questions thread, it's linked in the chat for this channel, and you can drop questions in there, and I'll answer them in the order that they appear. Let's go ahead and get started. I see two questions, so I'll go through these as quick as we can. So Nami asks, do you know if there is a reason most moderation office hours have not been uploaded to your website? Are they not being recorded and sent to you? I only put office hours on the office hours website. I only put office hours on the office hours website if I have recordings of them. If there are no recordings available, I can't put them there. I have yet to speak to moderation to ask them to remember to record their episodes. I just kind of keep forgetting. So if they put an MP3 in the channel, I'll put it on the website. Basically, that's just as simple as it is. If you want more of them on the website, encourage moderation to record their office hours and send the file my way. Leo says, how have the team been doing? We're great. We had a couple people ill in the sort of middle of January way. Lots of cold and flu going around. A few sort of worse than that. Possible COVIDs, etc. But, you know, that's just the life that we deal with now. COVID is now basically like the flu. It just like appears all the time. So welcome to 2024 in that regard. Other than that, we're good. Looking, getting into the swing of things, etc. Oliver Reed says, what do you do if your cloud storage is full, but you haven't really used anything? So I have a guide for you for that, which I'm pulling up the link for. You can go ahead and read that one. There you go. Full storage. That's the benefit of the wiki. We now have the place where we can do that. And I can give you much better information because the guide is very well maintained and, my brain sometimes isn't. That's all the questions I see for right now. So if anyone would like to add additional questions, do let them know. Put them in the thread, etc. Oh, we've got three questions in a quick succession here, so I'll go through them. Alexis, are you excited, worried, or some other emotion about MMC starting Thursday? I'm going to say this again, and I really, really want people to listen. Usually I'd give you tons of advice or tips on how to make worlds, but this year, remember that having fun is the goal, and if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. So don't overcommit. Test your creations. Don't work long hours. Just, like, chill out, right? People put so much, like, charged emotions into MMC, and it's not meant to be like that, right? You're meant to just make something cool. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. Now he says, speaking of storage, look through wiki page, how do I remove, delete voice messages, items sent by contacts? There's no functionality to do that. I believe you can, if you can find the record ID for the voice messages, you can delete those manually with the delete record command or something like that, I think. Other than that, we don't have that as a feature. Specs asks, does the team have any discussions or criteria around what functionality should be considered for a component versus a protoflux node? I'm curious, the team is trying to design nodes for certain purposes versus components, and if there's any hard distinctions between them. It's a little hard to like reason about, but remember the connectability of protoflux. So if you think the property needs manipulating or connecting to other nodes, it's a protoflux node. If it has a self-contained objective, then it is a component. Good example might be the look at user components and then the protoflux node look at, right? So you could do looking at in both ways, but looking at a user is a self-contained finite thing that it benefited from its own component. I don't really know if I'd be able to like write down the rules there. It just kind of happens. What I do get annoyed by is when people ask for components that do protoflux node things, and I don't understand why. It's like, is there a component that can add two numbers together? Just use the add node. Seriously, just use the add node. It's there for you. Leo, there is not a arithmetic component. You can get away with doing arithmetic using some components hackily, but just like make it. Someone said that ends up with just having one input, a drive, and that's it. Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Do it. My advice for protoflux is pack often and smaller. I see people that make like entire systems on one protoflux slot or one red print or whatever. Don't do that. All right, that's all the questions I see for the moment. So let's go ahead and sit here in a little bit of silence until we get going. Sorry talks about how all issues require logs. That's incorrect. Only bugs require logs. And then there's I'll just read it. Cyrus says, I've been listening to the general vibe of reporting issues to the GitHub, and one very large sticking point has been seen the almost compulsory fact that you must include logs. It's not almost compulsory, it is compulsory. On paper, it sounds fairly sound. It helps development time when you present a log file, but there's some issues that simply don't require logs. Disagree. Things like simply, whoops, you forgot to add X or Y. We don't know if we forgot to add X or Y without a log file. One of the problems that we have is when people make assumptions. This happens a lot in science as well. That's why one of the like foundational parts of science is to list your assumptions. And that's why we need the log files, because assumptions are bad. If you make a GitHub issue that says like, hey guys, you forgot to do this and it doesn't contain a log file, let's add up the time it takes for me to take a look at that, right? So first of all, I've got to read the GitHub issue. Assuming that it is perfectly well formatted, has a good explanation, etc., I can then understand the issue. And then I need to understand it from a code perspective. So I will alt-tab to the code, and I'll dig through the code. And I get through the code, and that takes me, like, let's say an hour, right, to review what's going on for that particular bug. But I get to the point, and I'm like, for me to understand this bug more, I would need to see what your client is doing, what log entries your client is surfacing that will help me figure out what's going on, right? I'm sure if you're a programmer, you've probably done this. I'm just typing. Give me a second. I'm typing. Give me a second. You've done something like that, where you've been like, I don't understand what the hell is going on. So just console.log random letters, right? We tend to try not to do that, but a lot of times we can do it by actual sensible log files messages that need to be there. And without knowing it, I might need that data, right? So I've gone through the debugging. I've spent an hour on that. So let's say I spent like 5 minutes trying to grok the GitHub issue. So I spent 5 minutes trying to read the GitHub issue. And then I spent an hour trying to figure out what the code is. And then there's a gap because I don't have a log file. I have missed the context. Somehow there's information that I don't have that I need. I then can't work on that. So I have to put it back onto the pile of stuff I can't do and wait until you give me a log file. And then when you have a log file, I need to then reread the issue for another 5 minutes and then probably re-expose myself to what that code does for another, not another hour, now I'm familiar with it, maybe sort of 5-10 minutes. And then I need to remember where I was the last time I was looking at it, which sometimes is difficult. And then I can consult your log file and be like, oh, it's fallen through into this area of the code where it shouldn't be, I'll fix it. So that's why we need log files. And yeah, I get it's a pain, but like just put them there. You can drag the file in. Right? If you make a shortcut on your desktop to the folder where the logs are, and you just drag it into the GitHub window, it shouldn't take long at all. It really does make things faster. There are exceptions, Lex. I understand that there are exceptions, but you put NA there, and we didn't yell at you about it, right? So use your own understanding. Panda, yeah, we just can't accept log files of like mods in them. Like there was a, like, I don't want to call names out here, but there was a mod that just like randomly crashed you for like 5 different reasons, and it was because the mod was just implemented badly, and like that's why we can't accept log files with mods. Like it just like if it adds stuff, then it might be that it's not working how it should be. So that's the way it is. Oh, you had a second half of it. Let me have a look. Yeah, I didn't see the second half of it where you talked about automatic logs. But I'll answer it now. Marauder, the logs of mods are contaminated. A lot of times also we get log files where most of the time, yeah. A lot of the times when we get log files for like a 5 hour experience of Resonate. What we need, therefore, if you're up for it, like just give us a log file, we'll be fine. But if you're up for making it easier, much, much easier, close Resonate, launch Resonate, reproduce the bug, close Resonate. That's what Shifty does. And that gives us what's called a clean log file. It says, like, start up, thing you're trying to do, shut down. And that makes it real easy. Alpha Neon says it how I don't really wish to say it, to be, like, rash there. But, like, if you want a bug fixed, please just submit a log file. I understand it's problematic. And I didn't see the second half in your initial question, Syra, but I'll go for it now. Yeah, we want to get, like, in-game reporting tools. Something that will probably be coming soon-ish is like a general feedback form. We used to have one in the olden lands where you could just submit general feedback. That won't be for bugs. That's more going to be like, yo, the stream yesterday was great. Thank you. Thumbs up. Or stream yesterday could have done with this. Or I have an idea. Or like, why the logo needs more pink, right? It's not for bug reports. It's just for sort of like free form feedback. There's going to be like a stamp all the way around that in some way that says like, not for bugs, not for bugs, not for bugs, not for bugs. So if you submit a bug there, I'm going to steal your lunch. All right, let's make sure I fill out the gaps. English. Spec says, how's it feel to get the wiki out? Happy community participation? Yeah, it's great to see it out. It's great to see communities doing it. There has been a little bit of a slowdown, and I predicted that would happen. I love the people that are still contributing, etc. But remember that the wiki exists for more than just the first couple of weeks that it was out, right? So I would encourage you guys to just edit it at all points. Don't forget that it exists. Because that's the problem we had with the old wiki, which was eventually no one wrote it except me. Humility has a question. There are no silly questions. There are no trolley questions. There are no stupid questions. There are no serious questions. There are just questions. So Humility's question basically summarized is mobile platform. Yeah, we're going to work on it eventually. We want to do standalone, so that'll be like quests and stuff like that eventually. Unity is probably the biggest blocker in there. It's not the only blocker, but it's one of the blockers there. So once that's gone, we'll start doing there. I don't know if we'd ever do like non-VR mobile. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if we'd do what VRChat has done with the Android. It's difficult to do, like, the Android desktop. You know what I mean? It's like they're not wearing a headset, but they're playing VRChat, but they're not on desktop. They're on an Android phone. I don't know if we'd ever do that. I know some people managed to get working on Steam Deck, etc. I'm sure we like want to go for like as many platforms as we can, but the problem there is like overcommitting, which we are already overcommitted on platforms, right? We can't support them all as it goes, right? We've got ones that are sort of like broken or partially created, etc. Spec says this is a general example of a problem that should be started even without a log. No, it needs a log. There's a general issue since the security update where some users experiencing notice the higher rate of dropping from sessions. That is nothing to do with the security update. I will link you the exact GitHub issue that one is. I'm actually fixing it today as well. I'd be fixing it right now if I wasn't in here telling you guys to submit log files. This one here is literally this, right? So the relays periodically crash, and when they crash, anyone that is using the relay will be kicked out of the session, and that's what's going on there. And thanks to the recommendation from Svekin, that's a shout out to them, shout out of the week, we've got this. See? I'm still playing around with it, like I want to get at logo and stuff, and I also want to put some of the alerts into the regular Discord. I'll probably make a channel under Resonite Development for like service alerts here, but like it's just going up and down like all the time. It's just like, hey, the relay just crashed again. But again, here's why we might need logs for that, right? So the logs would tell us which relay you were connected to when that happened. And so let's say it was only one relay that was doing that. Let's say it was only the Australian relay. To figure out that it's the Australian relay, I need to know that you're connected to the Australian relay, and to know that you're connected to the Australian relay, I need a log file. So, like, I get that it's a pain, I understand, but just imagine how much more pain we're in when an issue that people really want fixing does not have any information that allows us to fix it. Like, a good example being the sessions randomly disappearing bug, whatever. Fruks was like, hey, I've added more diagnostics. Keep giving me log files. And then he was like, that's odd. I've added more diagnostics. Keep giving me log files. And then eventually he got enough information to just fix it. Let's jump through some questions. Epic Eason talks about why the relays matter in different regions. So if your network is weird, you can see more on the network information page on the wiki. You need to use a relay. And that basically opens a bidirectional tunnel via the relay to pass packets through. If anyone's, I'm going to use this analogy and it works for like us because we're a bunch of you know, internet users here in the community. If anyone's seen Stargate, right, the Midway station, which is a station that they use to transport people and stuff between Earth and Atlantis using a series of Stargates connected together, that's pretty much what a relay is, except it's bi-directional. So cool. And hopefully the Wraith won't find a way into the Midway station and blow it up, because that's what happens in the show. I guess the issue above could be seen as the Wraith periodically having a raid and blowing it up. So then Easton follows up with, when the relay fails, users are disconnected. So if you are going through the relay, peer-to-peer already doesn't work. So the relay kicks in when peer-to-peer doesn't work, and it keeps that tunnel open. It's literally two sockets, right? So it opens two sockets. It opens a socket forwards towards the host and backwards towards the client, and then it ferries the packets between them. It's literally like connecting two phone lines together, but there's still two phone lines there. So when the relay goes down, that connection is broken, and then you're disconnected. So what we have to do is make the relays not crash every hour, but working on it. Thumbs up. Moving forwards to Fuzzy. I heard there were vague handwave, some issues with the Twitch integration in Resonite compared to what we had over in the other platform. We have exactly the same issues over in the other platform. The API that we use for Twitch is deprecated, and the new API is problematic, so we haven't swapped over to it. It means that the channel point redemptions, I think, are broken, but most other stuff still works a little bit. Various people saying that we don't... Oh, okay, so it was submitting an initial... Yeah, submit initial one if you want, and just in the log file section, just comment that you're looking for advice on how to get log files or anything like that. We just want to see a willingness to acquire the logs. What I don't like is when people are like, no, I won't give you logs. That I don't like. You know, if you're confused or don't know the best way to get logs, go for it. There's actually an issue Shadow Panther had with the relays where they asked for me to pull logs from the relays, and then we worked through the solution a bit, and now I need more logs from them. So like we were like tag teaming getting the logs required to take a look at. So understood, thank you. Now he says, do you know why the EU relay bridge is in Finland and not a more common frequent location in Europe like the Netherlands? Yeah, so the EU relay and bridge, they run on the same server that we have other parts of the infrastructure in. So it was just there and available, and so we could start... We could start a relay on it. So each relay costs us money. That was just one of the locations where we already had a machine. That machine is quite beefy, so it can totally handle the relay. Maybe there's like a YouTube video of the Midway station firing up. Yeah, here you go. This will make literally no sense unless you know Stargate at least a little bit. Let's move forwards. Panda asked about contacts popping online and offline. That is a bug. We have a GitHub issue for it. It's kind of like I said, oh my god, I'm just going to open up Xcal. Like, okay, hang on, hang on. Let me pop this to a new window and then hide bookmarks, Control Shift B. Oh, it's probably because I'm on that page. Never mind. Xcali, how do you pan? Yeah, I'll get back to there. I'm literally just going to like share my screen and draw how the relays work because Eastern isn't getting it. All right. So usually, let's say we had, yeah, that can be blue. Cool. Is that sick? Can you see a blue square? Can you see a blue square? All right, this square should not be blue, but I'll make it not blue. All right, there we go. It's green, right? So usually we have here, we have the host, and here we have the client, right? So we're just going to call this Eastern. And then we're going to call this Recent Cloud. I don't know why, but it was the first headless that came into my mind. I can't really spell lounge. There we go, right? So let's say that your network is okay, right? If your network is okay, then all we do is we establish a bidirectional link via sockets between you two, right? If your network's okay. And then data flows between them. When there's a relay in the middle, we open two sockets, one that does the bidirectional between the client and the relay, two even, and then one here. Well, it's technically one, but like it's bidirectional, but whatever. That needs to be the other way around. And that's because this doesn't work. So you're connecting through here. You don't actually have a socket to the headless. You have a socket that goes through the relay. It goes through here. So if this suddenly disappears, then these close, and then there's no link between you and the headless, and then you get dumped to your home world. That's what's going on. There are other networking things which do like a tap through the bridge to like set up stuff and then don't connect through there. But that's only one other type of that, right? This is the for the relay thing. If the relay goes down and you're connected through it, you will drop. It won't go back to the other one. All right, moving on for questions. Hope that helped. Jim was missed. Oh, I missed a question from Casually. I missed a huge question from Casually Noted. Thank you. Casually Noted says, what's the likelihood of OpenXR support for more broad support for eye face tracking hardware? Any forms about hardware, it's like just open a GitHub issue with the hardware you'd like supported. I think there's one open for like generic OpenXR support, but I really wish people would focus on like the headsets in question, because sometimes they say they're OpenXR and they're not, and it's really annoying. Secondarily, they say, is Linux via Proton currently the official method for Linux use? There is no official method currently. would probably have to like write a guide for that. I'd rather just fix the Linux build, but if Proton works for you, go for it. And as it's not the official, we won't be removing the official Linux build because... Okay, so the Linux build doesn't work. It works periodically. It needs more work, right? But the Proton stuff does work, so we're not going to remove either. Like, just leave them both there. I know it sounds weird, but like, I don't know why we'd remove the capability of people from playing our game on Linux right now. Casually noted, third question is, previously VRM support was brought up as a potential method for having easily shareable pre-made avatars that can be produced outside Rezo and distributed. However, VRM as a format requires specific permissions that Rezo doesn't have the ability to properly display and use. So what will actually probably happen there is we'll add those permissions and then VRM support can be re-evaluated. So we do want to add additional permissions. They're called hard permissions in the licensing system. I don't think we have GitHub issues about them. We should. They will allow us to do probably close to the VRM spec in terms of permissions. So... yeah, that'll solve that. We don't need to look at any other things. We just need to make those permission-y things work. Nami says, will we ever get another EU bridge relay far from Finland, say Ireland, UK, Netherlands, France, etc. If there's a need for one, the relays aren't saturated. If you're experiencing like high pings or high throughput timing, then let me know. Sorry, I did not jump away from that question correctly. I gave that question like 2 or 3 minutes where I talked about in-game reporting and in-game feedback tools. So I think we're good there. If you have additional clarifications you'd like, please word it as another question. Easton asks, what if punch through fails? Can't you just default to Steam networking sockets? So it's like a stack of priority, right? It's try network method 1, that fails. Try network method 2, that fails. Try network method 3, that fails. Try network method 4. So there's like a negotiation between your computer and the host to figure out which network protocol is the best one. And that's what's going on there. So maybe the order needs to be changed, but Steam networking sockets are hit or miss sometimes depending on people's computers. Steam networking sockets, I don't know if it's a last resort. I have to look at the exact order. You can check the networking information page for more stuff. For, yes, it's Light Network Lib. I actually found out today when I was looking at their GitHub page that it is a Ukrainian developer. And I'm like, hell yeah, that's great. So yeah, you can find that there. It's also linked on the doobly-doo networking information page. All right, taking a look. Alpha says, is your IP shared to the headless if you use a relay? Yeah, I think so. Your IP is shared if you don't use a relay, so yeah. Easton asks, Prime have an even more absurd question. If the relay fails, why can't you switch to another relay? That we could do, but it would require us to have some capabilities to do it. The problem there is that you would still, like, it would be like connection recovery would be the term there. Look into the, like, we've had like requests for host migration a lot. That would be the sort of like area that we need to look into to sort of have that happen. It would be a bit like, imagine like changing the tracks on a railway whilst the train's at speed. Like, there's going to be some interruption of service there, so it's a little weird. We could like disconnect you, bump you back to your home world, and then start a new connection via another relay, but I don't know how, like, if we could get it smooth, that would require a lot of work. Dragonhead says, how would they know that they're going through relay if they don't pay attention to the joining bar? You can look at the logs. Sorry, I know that's not helpful, but right now you can look at the logs. The logs will tell which relay you're connecting to. As for the whole Proton Linux thing, we should just fix the Linux build. It would take equal time to like go look into how to like tell Steam to shove stuff through Proton to like fix the Linux build. As far as I'm aware, it's just like DLL issues at the Linux build right now. There are other issues, but like we just need to get it working, and then we can fix on the other issues, right? So it's working a bit better now, but it needs more. Ramper said they looked at the new status page. There's some kind of metrics there on the dashboard. That's a non-public part. Yeah, I was disappointed to see that there was a non-public part, but I like the fact that the new status page is like simpler and easier to like look at and reason about. But probably another service for metrics. It's kind of difficult because like I could just like go to another, you know, like a third status provider that does have metrics, but it much easier to just throw up another service that handles metrics. We've only got like 3 or 4 that we look at anyway. I think that's all the questions. If I've missed any or would like to go back to any, do let us know. All right, Marauder says, I was told that Protoflux would have functions soon, and I asked if there's any way things could be accomplished through an object-oriented fashion. I'm wondering how Protoflux will be expanded upon, whether or not that's true. Functions will appear. They're called like nested nodes. And that allows you to sort of take like a node graph and pack it into like a super node that contains all of those nodes. And you'll be able to like specify the inputs and outputs for that. So it looks like functions, but like specifically if you're talking like computer programming wise, it's not a function. It's like a packed tree. As for classes and object orientatedness, dynamic variables are the closest we have to that right now. I wouldn't imagine that you'd be able to do like class extends, interfaces, abstraction, what's the polymorphism? Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I don't imagine you'd be able to do that anytime soon. We do have reference and value types right now. You can use those. But yeah, you should view it more as like nested nodes than functions, because there are like subtle differences there when in like your mind when you're thinking about it compared to like actual functions. Let me just check the, like, so the way we run the relays, they've got a restart counter, which shows how many times they've restarted. And the EU relay, which is running the experimental new build of LightNetLib, has not restarted at all. But if I go ahead and I take a look at the, let's say, the Australian relay, so let me just pop a shell to that one. This is where I get it wrong, Ian. AU1. Okay, well, it popped the security key, and that's good. Whilst I was waiting for that to SSH in, it's being slow. is it 2023? Whoops. I'll fix that for the recording and it'll be on the website as 2024. It's January. You're allowed to do that in January. In February, it's embarrassing. In January, you're allowed to do it. Svecan, you've got the last question, if it's a question. As I realize we're over time. Otherwise, I'll get through these questions that exist. Charisma says, is there a reason why there are separate protoflux nodes for AND and multi-AND instead of being one node? No, your explanation is totally fine. I don't particularly know why. I would probably improve that in the future. Emergency temporal shift says, are nested stuff copies that duplicate memory use? I don't particularly know. That question doesn't make much sense. I'll try and answer it. Nested stuff would be more efficient because what it would do is it would take the graph that you make for the nested node and effectively monopack that. Now, I'm going to say this once only. Do not monopack protoflux. That's our job. So when you nest a node together, it will basically be monopacked into that nested node. And so there will be a performance gain there, but don't do that manually because you just could cause all sorts of mess later down the road. Marauder Knight, this is like the third or so question that you've had where you've like talked about rumors. Like if you want to know what's going on, take a look at our GitHub or ask questions. Like don't rely on the rumors. Most of these are correct, but like I feel bad for you that you're relying on them. So like ask questions, come here, do exactly what you're doing. It's as for your question, which says that they remember hearing a second language, a text one would be provided for use in Resonant. Is that true? Yes, it's true. We'll be looking for WebAssembly. You can take a look at that on the GitHub. There's a WebAssembly issue. I will end here. And I will speak to you guys later. I'm going to follow up with some links in a little bit. I'm just going to run away and take the dog out because they need to walk. And then I'll drop a bunch of GitHub issues for you, Marauder, in a few minutes. Speak to you guys soon.